Kuni-Nisukunilrani, we are on Fish Talk on Monday afternoon, 1 p.m. I have the state, the Fish and Wildlife Intertribal Fish Commission here with me. I'll have them introduce themselves, maybe starting with you, Aaron, and then we'll go around.
Hey, good afternoon, Sam. Yeah, this is Aaron Moses. I'm the subsistence coordinator at Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge.
Good afternoon. This is Therese Vicente with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission.
And good morning, everybody. This is Sam Decker with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm the Kuskokwim Area Management Biologist.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Sam Berlin. I host the show here. Let's open up with the openers that are coming up soon to the public out there when they open.
Yeah, we just had one on the 27th and 28th, and then the next one's going to be this Thursday starting at noon, July 2, and ending July 3rd. Third at noon, so it'll be 24 hours. It's set net only. The regs on that is 6-inch or less mesh, 45 mesh deep, and can't be longer than 75 feet.
Mm-hmm. That 75 that has started, it even began with that this year. I was surprised. So is there a reason why that is happening?
Yeah, we went to all the villages to consult with them and asked for what could be improved. And the feedback we got was a lot of people wanted just to half their net to make it easier so it would be easier for law enforcement and for them to be able to legally fish.
Yes, that sounds reasonable way to go, because 60. Even I was having problems. I got sighted a couple of times. I didn't get fined, but my net's been pulled and it's being shortened by some brownie little guy running around out there. But things are working out, and I'm glad that we are given this opportunity. This coming Thursday, July 2nd, July 3rd, midnight,
noon.
12 noon on July 3rd, the 24-hour opener aguluni Taima nakt mikuyaga kat mai makut ikasut chums mikuhuluting my pitut this time of the year. When my dad was alive, he usually looked forward to the fourth area when they fished, and he wouldn't miss it for a day, because that's when they peaked. So for those of us that go after chum for our dry racks, we're going to be given an opportunity on the 2nd and the 3rd. I'd like to hear what we have from the state, and then we'll hear something from you too, Tris, after. Sam?
Sure, Sam. I can give the updates from the Cusco sonar. Let's see, hot off the presses. So these are the fish passage for yesterday. Yesterday we had 3,800 king salmon go by, and 11,400 sockeye, and 7,000 summer chum. And that brings our totals for this season so far to The Chinook salmon, about 54,000 Chinook salmon gone by. And the sockeye were at about 112,000 fish so far. And the chum salmon were at 51,700 so far.
Wow.
So the chum salmon have been picking up in the last 3 days.
And there should be more showing up.
Oh, yes.
We're really hoping for... This is the right kind of weather that we're having right now.
Yeah, it's been great weather the last 3 days, mm-hmm. and I think we've got two more days of this good weather.
This type of weather is when it's blowing a little bit like this from the south and kind of a little rainy on and off. That's when it tells us that there's fish in abundance in the Kuskokwim mixed right now. Years ago, when I was a boy, we hardly ever catch reds. Sockeye, they hardly ever catch. Whenever one was caught, my dad would come. They'd be commercial fishing, but when he caught a red, he went up to the fish camp, cooked it. And we ate it, and then he'd go back down. That's how rare they were. Now we have hundreds of them coming up. And it's good because there's fish out there that we target. We're starting to target reds now.
Yeah, it's been a very strong run lately. We've been watching that run increasing over the last 20 years. Aaron Moses was telling me about his experience growing up here and watching the sockeye salmon increasing over the decades. Mm-hmm. And last year we had 920,000 sockeye pass the sonar, which is an amazing number.
Yeah. And hopefully they'll keep increasing. They'll keep increasing and be able to provide food on the table for our family.
Yeah.
Tris, do you have anything to make a report or have anything for our listeners out there in the radio land?
In radio land.
Yeah.
Koyana Sam. So thanks to Aaron for sharing the details for the upcoming SetNet opener. Just some reminders, because we've been getting calls to our office about, you know, what's going on at what parts of the river. From the Kalskag line up to Aniak in federal waters, fishing with 6-inch gill nets up to 150 feet is open 24/7. And then the other thing, open 24/7, there's a few things, but dip netting is. We've had some people calling and texting wondering if they can go dip netting, and the answer is yes, throughout the Kuskokwim watershed, actually. So in the federal waters main stem Kuskokwim, you can use a dip net whenever. If you're a federally qualified subsistence user, so basically an Alaska resident who lives full-time in one of the Kuskokwim drainage communities, you can keep anything you catch with a dip net. If you're not a federally qualified subsistence user, meaning essentially you're an Alaska resident but you don't live full-time within the Kuskokwim drainage, you can still use a dip net, but you cannot keep kings or chums, which you're mainly going to catch reds anyway with a dip net, from my own experience. And, you know, it's a great way to catch those reds. So I'm glad to hear that 11,000 passed the sonar just yesterday. So is that right, Sammy? Okay. So that's good that their numbers are picking up. You can also, because someone asked about this, you could try using a dip net in the tributaries. If you're in one of the salmon spawning tributaries in federal waters, you just would not be able to keep any kings or chums. So if anyone tries that, let us know. I've never really heard of anybody trying it, but I believe it's a traditional fishing method for the community of Lime Village way up the Stony River, use those dip nets to catch reds. So it definitely could work. We are still working on assembling harvest estimates for lower Kuskokwim fishing opportunities. We work closely with Fish and Wildlife Service and with ONC, the Bethel-based tribe, to produce these harvest estimates. And our team is still crunching the numbers from the set net opportunity that happened over the weekend. I've just refreshed my email to see if we got anything, but not quite yet. But since we didn't have fish talk last week, I can give the harvest estimate for the June 22nd fishing opportunity that happened in the lower part of the Kuskokwim in federal waters. That was a drift and set net opportunity, 12 hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Last Monday. And we estimate that about 9,800 king salmon, about 11,000 chum salmon, about 9,700 sockeye salmon, about 150 sheafish, and 50 or so other whitefish were harvested by subsistence users. And that brings our estimated total harvest from the waters between Twint and Tuluksak during all the openers this season to about 19,000 king salmon, about 16,500 chum salmon, which is the highest cumulative harvest we've seen for the last couple years. Sockeye salmon is sitting around 12,700. And for all those three species, that's about 48,200 salmon. That doesn't include any fish caught downriver from Tuntutuliak or upriver from Tuluksak, including in state waters of the Kuskokwim. Nor does it include salmon harvests in like non-spawning tributaries like Ginak River or Johnson, or if anyone's tried, you know, rod and reeling or dip netting or whatever yet. But I did get some updates from some friends in waters upriver in the Kuskokwim. Jawthpaluk and Napaimute are starting to see fish in higher, slightly higher numbers as of the end of last week. Some kings, more chums than past couple years, and the reds are slowly picking up. And there were some king salmon caught in McGrath in the last couple weeks too. So people there are happy. So yeah, hopefully the numbers continue to come in and pick up, especially with this good weather.
Yeah. Aaron, do you have anything to add to the reports?
Just a little bit, just from getting phone calls back. They are catching sockeye pretty well in the non-spawning tributaries. So just a few reports that I've gotten. And it seemed like everybody who fished this last weekend pretty much got what they wanted. There wasn't as many people out as I thought there would be, but it seemed like everybody was catching a lot of fish.
Yeah. On have you gone out to the non-spawning tributary areas? Have you tried fishing there? Like the Johnson, mouth of Johnson, Gallic?
This year I haven't, but last year I did try in the Gweek and in... Well, let me take that back. I did go downriver once this year and fished in Baitluk, and we did pretty well. Last year, I fished in the Gweek and Johnson and did pretty good on the incoming tides.
Yeah.
And there was 99% of them, when you fish up here on the Gweek, is sockeye.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've noticed when I tried up at Gweek. That's what I was catching was... the sockeye, the reds, and then right by Johnson, it's variety. Kings, Chums, Ritz. When I went down by Gaelic, I was catching, this was in the earlier part of the season, and I was catching mostly kings in that area. Not very many, but they were there. So right now, Ahunahwani, estimate catch at Ahukut Bilhit. Ahkuni ashakuni atusumtni amsenro raktahalutin nakt ahkut bilhit buta chang taulutin totin bilrit away trisak bilhemini buka away plusrmikup yashmi number rarichalituk pixailata chiungani bilhitnik ahkut Twilight Bower opener, Arleting Pilchatni, Pilchitnik Pilchamini, Chung Tau Luting Pilrit, Chakmakan, Dun Dudu Lerm Kama, but Dusk Sarmit Kisuki, Unang Luting Nuknik Beaut, Dai Masu Kawani Kerkvani. Charlie McGrath, Kawakan, good clickable Hemini Tahayak with the Mavet, get moon as rolling bill read, the Mavet kidney looky, chung chung, the chung, accluding tamakunka, air naksu, awai, bill Hemini, Maguni, Renewix after looky, Makut. Asuk sauna ting pilal rita nakit keni kuihimi wani annak chimpaingani kelik paislami takhiyakak tamay tamakutikin kal rita chang aksuni pilakani sruka chali kwan pilu ni keni kuihimi kuih nga sup muris kakamki Ilu Muruka, Kenny Sayit, Quig me, Chung Tau looting pillar read, Umsnru looting pit duta, Makuni Tarak Pokini Kasugunisu, Wani Tokun, Anachim Pine and Nunini Pel Piluta Pergamta, Taman Chungaksuta, Tarak Pokinik, Ikasugunik, Sayakuniksu, Time toy Umi khwat ngan khduka air nak tinga gule ting pishkamakhni kubuyat chibi ngadlgita awai kikhtlhatni totin pitalkhun ritni luki takwam khwat n umi oht kluni biuka ay pagni toh tru suting pilgita takn yukluki takwam chali khuy umi oht ka it's a little early. It's still a little early to say that. My fourth Madam Kingoni, right beyond fourth, you'll start seeing dwindling of fishermen going out. That's when basically tells us that they're getting done and they're starting to cure their fish, getting ready for the berries to show up, to ripen up. Usually that's the case, but other do we have any other reports that like in Quinnahock, are they commercial fishing over there, or what's happening?
Sure, Sam, there's an update from the bay. They're not commercial fishing yet. Right now people are still putting away their subsistence harvest. What we've been hearing from Quinnahock and from Good News Bay is that folks are pretty much done drying their fish and are now starting in on freezer fish. The catches have been good. It's been a lot of, you know, their kings were also late, but the kings are in now, and they've been getting lots of chums and lots of sockeye. And I've seen some pictures of the sockeye, and they are big, beautiful 6-pound fish. Pretty impressive.
Yes. They'll be showing up here. They'll be here soon.
Yeah, they've also been pleased with the weather the last couple of days, has really moved the fish into the bay in Quinhock and Good News Bay.
Yes, Tris.
Thanks, Sam. I had a thought, and it left me. But one thing I could give an update on is one of our projects that's about to come online. That's the Takotna River Weir, way upriver. This weir has been monitoring primarily king and chum salmon in the Takotna for a little over 20 years off and on. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game started it way back when, in the late 90s, I believe, and then our Fish Commission has been operating it with the Takotna tribal community since 2021 or 2022. And one of our fish techs just got back from helping the weir crew up there get the weir prepped for the season and installed. The rain over this last weekend and the heat before it that started to melt up some of that snowpack really rose the water levels. So they had the weir fish tight just a few days ago, and now it got a little bit flooded. But everything sounds like it's intact, and it should be ready for operation on the typical start date of July 4th. So because the runs have been a little bit late, I'm not sure if we'll see any numbers right around then. Only time will tell. But yeah, that weir crew is awesome. All of the folks working on that crew are living in Takotna, so it's a 100% local crew. And then we have some support from our staff as well, but they do an incredible job every year getting that weir in and keeping an eye on the fish numbers that go up that stream. It's one of the only headwaters stock assessment projects in the Kuskokwim, and it's the longest running one. So it's a helpful indicator for what's going on in the headwaters of our river, and also with a potentially discrete stock or discrete spawning population of king salmon and chum salmon that are from the Takotna tributary. So more to come. It's just one of the many weirs that are running in the Kuskokwim drainage. Unfortunately, water levels have still been too high up the Gweethluk River, like just a couple bends above three step to get that weir in this year. That's one that our Fish Commission works on with Fish and Wildlife Service and the Organized Village of Gweethluk. But I think Fish and Wildlife is sending a crew up this week by boat to go see if maybe we can get the weir in time for monitoring fish passage. And if not, then just assessing the state of things to be ready for next year. So
for those of us that don't know exactly where that Takotna area is, can you give us a general idea of where and at the headwaters? You keep mentioning headwaters and snowpack and high water level. So I'm figuring it's right in the mountain areas, is it?
It's close to there. Yeah, that's a good question. We've had some people reach out because we say the word headwaters a lot in our outreach, and some people don't know what that is. So Goyana for bringing that up. The headwaters are the place where it all begins, where the river flows from in the mountains. And many folks know, you know, the Kuskokwim has a bunch of different branches and forks at its headwaters, like North Fork, South Fork, that runs up by Nikolai. So near those headwaters of the mainstem Kuskokwim, there's a tributary called Takotna. Its mouth is right across from the community of McGrath. So the community of Takotna lives, I don't even know how many miles up the windy Takotna River that's way up there by Tatalina Mountain, kind of in those hills that are before the Alaska Range up near McGrath. But yeah, so the community of Takotna lives up there. It's kind of nestled in those hills and mountains near like those old mining towns like Ophir and and those areas. But the weir itself is just about 2 miles away from the community. The crew, as I understand it, usually commutes back and forth. They all, you know, stay at home while they're working the weir. And over the past season, they've been working hard to construct a cabin at the weir site so they can wait out weather when they're on shift, or when some of our support staff come in, they've got somewhere dry and warm to stay near the weir site. And I feel like I could be wrong, but when the water levels start rising from the snow melt that's in the mountains and hills, it's those communities that kind of feel it first, those ones right near the mountain. So Takotna is one of those. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah. It gives me, it's right around McGrath, not too far from there.
Not too far. Yeah. I don't know how many air miles, but that flight between the two communities can't be more than a handful of minutes.
I think it's only about 12 minutes to fly from McGrath to Takotna, pretty much up and then down again.
Mm-hmm. What do you know about it?
About Takotna?
Takotna. And
the last time I was in Takotna was back in the 1990s when I was helping with the Iditarod. I went to McGrath and was there for about 3 weeks helping to load planes and unload planes and set up checkpoints at Roan, Ophir, Takotna, McGrath, a bunch of villages out there. Yeah, beautiful area.
Yeah, it has to be, right? Yeah. Right near where the mountains are. Mm-hmm. Probably serene water, clean, nice, clean water.
That's how I think of the headwaters, is the place where you can step across the mighty Kuskokwim.
Yeah. Aaron, it's been bothering my mind for a couple of days now. Drift Opener. have they talked about, or have you heard anything? Is there a possibility that might happen in the near future?
We're still looking at the sonar numbers, and there's always a possibility that there could be a drift opener in the future, if we get more comfortable with how the run's going and how if it comes in stronger. There can be a possibility of a future drift as long as the fish are still coming in.
Yeah, and like even for a short period, like 6 hours, you know, limited time of hours given for that. I'd be out there if that were to happen. I'm not much of a set net person. I'm more of a drift type fisher. But this time of the year when the sockeyes are running, they're more of the bank fish. And I'll certainly give it a try, talking about those big sockeyes that are showing up in Quinnahock and Good News. They'll be here. They'll show up here. We love those huge reds. We put them all in and eat them in the winter. And for those people that went out the first openers, we caught those little tiny little reds. I was surprised how small those were, and I kept thinking maybe this big fish are going to show up a little bit later, and sure enough, they're going to be here. Akunachali Ernam Awai Biluku Bisumni Ikihnaikluko Lugu Nakt Dangluki Makutun Ichin Hautmuktun Sonaratun Naklukin Big Gaita Dangluki Plulrit Nakt I Bagnitaim Ikihnaikluko Lugu time queen at two, Nakayunikakatamana, at Hachtakhilata, Sasatu, good ikilijak and relocating right, ki 6 hours, Guyanakpel, Guyanakperektoka, Matumun, Ulis Ulumun Nassau Sunipiguni, Unanganakoka, Ulumi Uluska Relunipiska. Takwam Akunachali Umioxuku setnetam Kpikata Reluting Pishata, July 2nd, 12 noon, Ikisuni. July 3, Army 12 noon, Jali Umkiluni, 24 hour opener, Aguluni, Town of Pishkaka, Umyok Sukupinnek, Butta, Setnet Taugok, Makutsui Kasut, Setnet Tanun Napshit, Miku Lachtuta, Akutnik Pitaim, Angtot. Sam am kanrut kluki unani kuin kham kutnu samsunun nini pillerit maavat ki chekut taim tamakunka in näput khas kumliuiga lutasu pilkka put tamakunka pit chekuk taim asanik kalarut kah kamtnikwa Makun Kluweranik Piluting Pishat Kawani Awai Ikabaksuki Pishuituna Takatnam Nunini Pilaga Kakwani Kawani Makratham Yaksniskini Tauna Witala Sinik Paknaklaska Ukut Una Taksoruk Kayagaruji Kala Ruchu Kufchiki Ukutasan Rinka 907-543-5985 Awai kuin kham nun nene pil khamkhne ayakne ka khasmtne kanrot kha una commercially fish sakna yukluki tammane pil khat awai chalapit ksakluk pilmne piksaitut takham kamakhtakh kamkhne kinakh ini luki shoot Tamakun time pilrita kakkiuting luting tamani puyuk kamhnun puyuk chui mhtun time piluting mani sutoi totin pingatuta illaitaka takung luting erna koto ai pilhmini ikikhani last opener Dorton Peters Hunrit Niluki Unani Ptuge Hilding Pilgrit Time Toy Kais Pitch Takakilting Luta Pissi Good Honey Hokaya Gaul Rachtan Cleaner James Good afternoon.
Yeah, Apitung Kato Maiwa Awani Ptuga Satni Chokes Mistita Matjagun. 60 feet tak lutin to samai tali 75 amun duh tak lutin to isu tong mani anaktin katini 150 feet watin 300 to isu matin teng teka 300 750 kwa abga to 150 abga 75 feet So, 115 to the Guama Kaisuna Ksaitaka, the Guam Pumyok Saksa Abra Kaisuna, Kpun Rilingam Kupikumku,
Aaron, you have Darian.
That's the reason that we put it to 75 feet so people could bundle up half their net and tie it up. So that way nobody has to cut their nets, their 150-foot nets. We see it all the time. People bundle up one side to make it 75 feet.
Yeah, so the guy's question, ahum 75 feet. I'm wondering about the lower section from Johnson River on down. Is it half a net for set nets on those, or is it 75 feet?
It is 75 feet from all the way from the mouth to the Kalskag line.
Okay. So it's all the same on set net, 75 from Tuntutuliak, Eek, Kamabata, Anirahamit Kisuki, set net to Tunpilrit.
Yep.
45 minutes, 6 inches or less. Akunatoy, akum apiti, akutuna yokokia, kubian ili kishluku, amshritotin pilachtuta, tang queen as tang laranka, abgaki, mitziving aluni, ikko una other half aha, either in a tub or on land with aluni, token toy, ayakluni, jiving axuni. Time. Do you have any reports that you want, Sam?
Yeah, Sam, thank you. I have an update from our chum tagging project, and they have been working very hard, fishing every day. There's a crew of four people plus a crew lead, and they have up to today, not including today, but they've got 158 tags out in chum, and so they will be working their way up the river. The fish will be working their way up the river and going past all of the towers that have equipment on them to pick up those tags as they go by, like up at the Takatna Weir. When the fish get up there, we'll be able to pick up those tags and know which fish are going up there. So that's an exciting update from our tagging crew. Mm-hmm. Again, they're fishing every day, so people will see fishers working in that site where the Bethel test fish used to operate. So you'll see boat traffic and people fishing there, but it's fishing for research. Mm-hmm. So they're letting all the fish go.
And that's right up by Kuchluk, that why, or where is
it? No, it's down near Church Slough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the fishing that's going up at the Y by Kuithluk, that's the sonar apportionment fishing crew. Mm-hmm. And so they also fish every day. Thank you for reminding. I've been meaning to talk about them as well. They fish right there in front of the sonar. So when people are driving their boats up through that area, you'll see some pickets. It looks kind of like a weir, but just coming out on the upstream side of the sonar. That's to protect the sonar from getting hit by any logs that come down and to make sure that they're clearly marked for boats so that boats don't run over the sonar equipment.
So they fish right in front of there. How late into the summer are those out?
They will be out until the end of August, depending on the weather, but we've got the project fully funded through the end of August.
Okay, and there would be some sort of a little light when it starts getting dark?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I know that we've operated into September sometimes, mm-hmm. so I'm sure that they know how to cope with that. But I will write that down and pass that along to the project leader, Kay.
Yeah,
and put some safety lights out there at the ends of those pickets.
You know, even those little yellow lights that we see in airfields.
Yeah.
That would work. Yes, Tris.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. And thanks, Sam, too. I had a question for you that maybe some of our listeners are wondering. What are we hoping to learn from the chum tagging study beyond like where, you know, Kuskokwim chum salmon are headed? Is this helping with like run timing information or genetic stock or a run reconstruction?
So it helps a little bit with run timing. Of course, what we know this year is that the fish are super late. So we're learning about super late run timing right now. But we'll be operating this project for the next 2 years. So 3 years total is what we're hoping to get done. 500 tags per year. So the other part of this is essentially a classic mark recapture style project. So we know that we're marking 500 chums each year, and we have those as a proportion of the total run. And then those fish, when they're going into the tributaries and they're going past all of these towers, we're seeing there's way to do math that will help us to apportion those sections of the run to those areas. And so we learn more about the abundance of the run timing, the swim speeds. Turns out that's something really handy that we've been using for the kings. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have that information for the chums for the future. And then where they're going and in what quantity, like basically how important are each of these tributaries to the health of the chum run.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller online from here in Bethel. Yvonne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nino.
Hey.
Good afternoon to all of you.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, this bad weather, what Sam talked about, and me, myself, talked about we should try to beat this weather and put up fish, dry fish. And that was a long wait, 6 days to continue fishing and try to beat this weather. This, most of the, what you're seeing now, it causes fish boils, which spoilage when you're trying to make crayfish. Mm-hmm. But anyway, remember these typhoon victims, and I'll say the Yukon fishermen from the coast, Black River fishermen, and all the way up the Yukon, they're having hard. Don't forget, they're the victims of the typhoon, and the freezers full of food were destroyed. And all the fish, dry fish they had in their sheds and sacks, those were destroyed. Having that said, and when it was done, I think they should be given more gift opportunities to restock, and at least giving more gift opportunities and chance to get ready for winter again, but I highly recommend giving drift opportunities. I state there's a lack of set net sites. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I highly recommend more drift opportunities to make it easier on them. But anyway, I don't know if we never include the Yukon fishermen, unless this is Federal Fish and Game and Tribal Fish Commission on the Kuskokwim. And I never, how come my Yukon people don't get to participate because they're on the state fish and game? That was my question, and I feel for them guys, and they're having a hard time too, 4 inch and 60 feet. I think they should be given an opportunity to fill their freezers at least and fill their fish racks. Enough of restriction. They've been on restrictions long enough. Why I say that? Interception, bycatch dumping out in the Bering Sea and Pacific Ocean, AM interception. I think they'd be given a break and given the opportunity to at least drift and have a bigger mesh, 6-inch, and let them get their food. But anyway, remember, don't forget the typhoon victims, and everything was destroyed, like I said, and all the dry fish they had for winter, that was taken away. And they, having that said, they should be given more opportunities. Good afternoon.
Koyana, do you have a reply for Yvonne?
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Yvonne, thank you for bringing that up. We know that the typhoon came through and hit a bunch of the fish and the freezers that people had so diligently worked at preserving. The state, after the typhoon, after things had settled down and people were safe and search and rescues had ended, the state did open up a moose hunt later in the winter for people who were impacted that way by having their moose destroyed by the typhoon. Unfortunately, well, fishing in the winter time is managed by the state of Alaska, and fishing is basically open 24/7 all winter long for people to use their traditional methods and to fish for their traditional species in their locations. When the salmon, the subsistence salmon that people had put up were destroyed, there was no way to give another opportunity on salmon for the winter time. So people were left with the pike, the shefish, the whitefish, all of the species that they usually harvest in the winter time. But it was recognized that the freezers and the dry fish that were put up were part of the loss suffered by the typhoon. I also wanted to reach up into the Yukon and give a little information up there. I'm no longer working on the Yukon for the state of Alaska. We separate those two rivers for management and research staff, but I can give a little bit of update of what's been going on up there. They have been fishing with 4-inch mesh up until just about a week or two ago. They're doing a 18 or 19 day closure around the first half of the King Salmon Run. So that started in the coastal district around Chivac, Hooper Bay, Scammon Bay, worked its way up into the river, including Kotlik, Imanik, Alaganuk, Nunamikwa, all the way up. I think the entire river is closed to gillnets while those King Salmon are moving through. And very soon, that closure will start rolling off and gillnets will be allowed again, starting with the coastal area and then moving its way up the river. So if you are interested in signing up for the Yukon announcements, if you give the Fish and Game Office a call, I can help you sign up for those so that you'll see when that's happening. You can also call the Imanik office, and their phone number is 907-949-1320. And the managers up there are Dina and Mike, and in about a week it'll be Matt who will be up there, and they can answer your questions about the Yukon River. I do know that the Yukon is having a pretty good run this year. They've got 70,000 kings past the pilot station sonar so far, and the chum run is looking very strong, which is really good to see.
Yes. Trish, do you have anything to add?
Sure. Koyana, Sam, and Koyana, Yvonne, for calling in. Always appreciate your comments a lot. When one thing that came to my mind, because one of the things I heard Yvonne ask was, you know, how come Yukon people can't come over here and fish? Or at least that's something I interpreted from his comments. When the Kuskokwim River is under federal management, it's only federally qualified subsistence users who can fish in federal waters. And several years back, the Office of Subsistence Management did an analysis to determine which communities have what they call customary and traditional ties to Kuskokwim salmon. And based on, you know, historical records, harvests, population data, traditional knowledge, they determined there's 40 communities within the Kuskokwim drainage area that are have customarily and traditionally used Kuskokwim salmon. So it's only residents of those 40 communities, which are the communities along the Kuskokwim River and in the Kuskokwim drainage, and then a few coastal communities, but not as far up to the Yukon, that are able to fish federal openers under the current regulations. So Yukon people, as Alaska residents, could come fish in state waters, as I understand it. And like we talked about earlier on the show, if they wanted to come over and try dip netting, they could. They could keep sockeye salmon, just not kings and chums. They could keep anything else. But it's the reason why it's limited to just federally qualified subsistence users is just because there aren't enough fish to go around right now. So fish could still be shared, and we hope people are sharing with Yukon friends and relatives. Is my mic acting kind of weird?
No.
Oh, okay. I hear it funny in my ear right now. Okay.
But that's because there's a caller online.
Oh, that's probably why.
we only have 5 minutes. Alexi from Napakiak. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Dosha.
Yeah, we're waiting on you.
Yeah. On these openings and closings, there are other people that have no motor that broke down and they cannot go fish. Those people should have enough time to try to catch fish instead of having closure for them. They have kids and families. We have to think about them. And closing like this, state is, the way I see it, state control, the way I see it, is no good. A lot of people are not getting their fish when they're supposed to get their fish, and you're closing them. There's abundance of fish out there. There's no shortage. And you guys are just closing for the people for their own subsistence use for winter. They shouldn't have no closures. They should have openings, because we don't catch abundance. We catch enough for the winter. They should let the people, Kuskokwim and Yukon, open subsistence as long as the fish is out there. They shouldn't have no closures. They should have no control over us. We're federally recognized. You're interfering our life. Have a nice day, and thanks for letting me speak. Thank you, Pat.
Mm-hmm. Response, Sam, Trace?
Yeah, Goyana, to our caller, for those comments. Yeah, we've heard there are some people with, you know, full drying racks, but a lot of people that have not yet had a chance to go out. So like Aaron said earlier on the call, our co-management team is always considering more drift opportunities and more fishing. It just depends on how the runs are looking. So far they've looked low, and we've, you know, remained concerned about the kings and the chums. Things could always change, and we're always hopeful that there will be more fish coming up, so then there can be more fishing opportunity. Our team is going to be meeting next Monday morning, so hopefully we'll know more next week about fishing opportunities after this week's 24-hour set net opener. my fingers are crossed for more drifting for people, but it'll be up to our co-management team to determine the best path forward. So we'll keep people and we'll keep KYUK informed if they announce more fishing.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you very much. We only have 3 minutes left on our time and our closing remarks. I'd like to, Sam, we'll start with you, state, and then do a closure, and then we'll go around.
Okay, thank you. I'll try to be brief, but in response to Alexi's concern about state management, I just want to reiterate that right now, under these federal special actions, the management is happening between the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. And so please, if you have questions, comments, concerns, direct them to those agencies, because they're the ones who are making these decisions between Aniak and the mouth of the Kuskokwim River. There are on the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission has a great website, and it lists the names of the in-season managers and their commissioners. So there are people in your communities that you can reach out to. But it's important for your voice to be heard. It's important to be heard by the agency that's making the decisions. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to mention too, that we did hear some concerns about enforcement issues that were happening here in the Bethel area. And just to reiterate too, that the state is not managing this area, and so we're also not enforcing in this area. So any enforcement actions that are happening are being taken by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, because those are the folks who are in charge for this area.
Tris, closing remark?
Yeah, Koyana, I didn't get to talk about Area M and bycatch, but we do have the latest numbers on our website. If you go to cuscosalmon.org, or you can call us at 545-7388.
Thank you. Aaron?
Hey, I'll just be short. I hope everybody has good fishing this weekend. Mm-hmm. And we don't take closing the river lightly. It's a very hard thing for all of us to do, because we all subsistence fish too.
All righty. And to all the callers that have called in, next Monday, we'll be here if the sun does not refuse to sign.
Thank you.
Thank you.